So look back, if you're in your Bibles, look back at verses 11 through 13, and we need to ask this question. If verses 11 and 13 are true, which say, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So if these verses are true, and they say that everyone who believes will gain a victory in Christ, and race, ethnicity, origin do not matter when it comes to salvation, that Jesus is the Lord of everyone, that Jesus will place his riches on everyone who calls upon him for salvation, and that Jesus will give salvation to everyone that asks, all right? If those things are true, then here are Paul's follow-up questions to those statements, okay? This is what he says. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed, all right? So if individuals do not believe Jesus is the Christ who died for their sins, then how will they call on him for salvation, all right? So we have a problem here. There needs to be a step in the life of an individual from, oh yeah, I've heard of Jesus before. I've heard of him. I remember a story that was told me once to believing that it is true. All right? My entire life, I have believed that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. I'm in Illinois, so I can probably get a lot of believers. Yes? Yes. Amen. Right? But these other guys keep coming along, and people say, the young people say, because they don't really know, right? The young people say that this guy is better than Michael Jordan, right? It's interesting when they talk about that, all of them. When they talk about all of them, and there have been four or five, every time they introduce this individual who is the next greatest basketball player, guess what they say? They say, we have the next Michael Jordan, right? Every time. Why? Because every time they're wrong, right? Every time they find out that he is not. This new guy is not the best one, right? This is seated in me so greatly. Even though I was a Detroit Piston fan and despised Michael Jordan when he played, right? It was so ingrained in me that he was the best that nobody is going to change my mind now. Even if a greater player came along, he would still have a hard time convincing me, all right? That's because I've gone from knowing who Michael Jordan is to believing with my whole heart that he is the greatest basketball player ever and the greatest basketball player that will ever be, right? In order for people to get saved, they have to go from knowing about Jesus and who he is and that he died on a cross many, many years ago to believing that he died on the cross for them, that he is the God of the universe, and that he sacrificed himself so that they could be saved. So if they're going to believe, all right, if they're going to go from oh, yeah, I know who that is, to belief. And then he asks another question. He says, and is it even possible for someone to believe if they've not been told? Right? He says, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? So we have the people who have heard about him, and they need to come to a place of belief. But then we have those individuals who have never heard at all. They don't know him. They have no idea who Jesus is. They think that we are gathering together on December 25th to celebrate goodwill in all the earth. They don't realize that we are gathering together to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, the one who would save us from our sins. So there are, is it even possible for them to believe if they've not been told? No, it's not possible. It's not possible for you to believe in something that you've never heard about. So then he asked another question. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? It's interesting that we've translated it, this word preaching, because when you guys hear preaching, you go, all right, pastor, go out and tell them, right? You're the preacher. That's what we hired you for, right? That's not the word. That's not the correct translation. The correct translation of this word would be persuading them. If nobody is persuading them, then what chance do they have of hearing? See, you guys, you all think that if I'm going to share Jesus, it's got to be easy for me to do. I've got to go knock on somebody's door, and they've got to open up the door and welcome me with open arms and say, hey, I am ready. I've been waiting for you to come and tell me about Jesus. That's not how it works usually. Peter, has that ever happened to you? I've been waiting? No? he's heard. It's happened to other people. It just hasn't happened to him yet, right? So we have to go into this. Paul says we have to go into this thing going, all right, it's going to take some convincing for them to believe that Jesus died for them. It's going to take some convincing. For some, it's going to take some convincing for them to believe that they've done anything that's worth going to hell. For some. For some, it's going to take some convincing that there is anything that could save them from going to hell because of the terrible things they've done. And it's going to take some convincing for others that God even really exists. So the letter to the Romans, he says to us here, how are they to hear without somebody preaching? He's saying, how is it going to happen if nobody's out trying to persuade them? And how will there be persuaders if nobody's sending them out? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? See, we've got this new idea in American culture. I'm not sure that it's new. I think it's been around for a while now. It's been seeded in us. That our responsibility as Christians is to come to church on Sunday morning. And to go to Sunday school. And to go to the potlucks. And to give to the church. And to go to prayer meeting. And to be on committees. And I'll tell you what, all of those things, those are wonderful things that I want you to keep on doing. All right? But Jesus never said, you need to come and gather together and stay together and forget about the world that is out there dying in its sin. Jesus said, you're going to have to send out laborers into the field. Why? Because the field is, you guys have heard this verse, the field is what? White under the harvest. There are people out there who are waiting, even though they don't know it, to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people, and Paul's talking to Israel, talking about Israel here, and he's saying, listen, there were people in Israel who were ready to hear. Somebody had to be brave enough to go and tell them. That means somebody has to be willing to risk the dangers of going out and sharing Christ with people who may or may not want to hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we have the following verse, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. I love this, right? People who share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ have beautiful feet, right? That's what it says, right? Beautiful are the feet of those who share the gospel. No, he says, the appropriate message at the right time for an individual who accepts it as good news is only produced by those who will take that message to them. Beautiful is like, wow, you did it. You did it exactly right. And I don't think this is talking about our presentation. This is talking about our timing. You were obedient when God wanted you to be obedient, and you went out and you shared the gospel with people who God had prepared to hear that gospel. And they were saved. And God says, through the Apostle Paul, that's a beautiful thing. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So we have to understand that if we're going to share the gospel with people, if they were going to go into Israel and share the gospel with the Israelite nation, if we're going to go out into our neighborhoods and share the gospel with people in our neighborhoods, the gospel message is only good news to those who will obey it and repent. It's not good news to anybody else. In fact, the gospel is really, it's really bad news for individuals who say, nope, I don't want it. Because the gospel is true whether they believe it or not. And for them who reject the gospel, it means they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And for those who believe the gospel and they are saved by it, those individuals, yeah, it's good news. It's good news that I can quit trying to save myself. It's good news that I don't have to put my hope in something else. It's good news that there is somebody able to forgive me for the horrible things that I have done. The gospel, unfortunately, which will transform lives, is often, though, not believed. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Can you imagine, just think for a little bit. Think about, first of all, successful pastors. Think of all of the successful pastors that you can think of. Or the successful pastors. I think back and I think of the successful pastors that I remember. And most of them, I can read their names in the Christian bookstore, right? They have books. They have tapes. They are reaching thousands and thousands of people. Anybody else? That's what your list looks like, right? But there's one pastor. One pastor in my mind. His name was Fay Logan. Pastored a little church in the corner. And was my dad's pastor. And was the pastor of some other men who went out into the ministry who did much more than he would ever have done by himself. I think he was a great pastor. But most of the time we think great pastors, big churches. Now I want you to think about the prophets of the Old Testament, okay? When we think of pastors who are successful, we think of people who are really well-loved and liked by the people who are around them. The prophets of the Old Testament, guess what they all had in common? People did not like it when they were coming around. they were lonely men with a message from God that Israel did not want to hear. And the Apostle Paul is speaking as a man who is being rejected by his people over and over and over and over again because they just don't want to believe it. So we need to realize, if we're going to go out and share the gospel with those individuals that we love around us, that the gospel, which would transform their lives, would change them forever, is often not believed. You get a lot of rejections. Thirdly, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Still, if we expect individuals to believe, they will have to be told. So somebody has to say, okay, The message is not going to be good news to the individuals who are not going to believe it and respond in repentance for salvation. It's not going to be good news to them. They're not going to be real happy about it. They're not going to be real happy when you tell them that Jesus is the only way. They're not going to be real happy when you tell them that if they don't believe on Jesus as their Savior, then they'll spend an eternity in hell. That's not going to be good news to them. Secondly, you have to remember that there will be individuals that you're going to share Jesus Christ with, this message that would change their lives forever, and they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to believe it. And then lastly, he says, but somebody still has to do it. So Paul is asking us to be among the few brave individuals in this world who will go out and share the gospel to individuals who don't want to hear it, convincing them that it's the message that they need to hear so that their lives will be transformed, knowing that most of them are going to say no anyways. And that's our call. That's not much of a battle cry, is it? I like it better when they say, no, if you'll go out and share the gospel with people, they're going to come in droves. They're going to love you. They're going to say yes. They're going to embrace you into their homes. Their lives are going to be changed forever. That's not what Paul tells us here. Paul tells us that we're going out into a world that is so embedded into darkness that many of them are not going to believe. And you have to go anyways. So this produces some other questions. The one question would be, but I ask, have they not heard? Another question would be, hasn't everybody heard the message already? Doesn't everybody know about Jesus Christ? Don't all of the Israelites realize that Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah? Don't they already know? Indeed, they've been told. Yeah, yes, the message has gone out. Many people have gone and told them about Jesus. Many of them have heard the stories about this rabbi, this teacher who came and he was crucified. Many of them have probably even heard the tales of him rising from the dead. He says the message is spread to every corner of the world. It's gone out. People have heard, people have known, people have realized that something happened in Rome. Jim Elliot, before he went to the Amazon, he said, I'm going to be a missionary because the message of the gospel is so spread in the United States, they don't need somebody else. But down in the Amazon, there's nobody, right? We've become that society now. We've become the society in which Jesus Christ is a questionable story. He's become, in our culture, in our society, he's become more like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny than he has the God of the universe. So hasn't everyone heard the message? Yes, they've heard it. They've heard it. It's gone out. It's spread all over the world. But they don't believe it. And somebody has to keep telling them until they believe. Someone had to keep telling Israel. Think about the Apostle Paul's assignment to the nation of Israel. Their rabbis were telling them that Jesus was a liar, that they were justified in killing him, that his apostles have lied when they said that he rose from the dead. And the apostles are going around. They're being beaten and imprisoned while they try to share that Jesus Christ did come as God in the form of man, that Jesus was killed on a cross unjustly, paying the price for our sins, but that death couldn't defeat him and he rose from the dead. Whose message do you think that the Israelites are listening to? Well, the rabbis, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees who are opposing the apostles in every town and every place. We're going out and we're sharing the gospel with individuals in our community. And the schools and the colleges and the media are all saying that there is no God. Certainly, if there was a God, he is not Jesus who died on the cross. And even if there was a Jesus who died on the cross, who was a good man and a kind teacher, and he has some sort of religious effect on individuals, certainly he's not the only way of salvation. And who do you think our culture and community is believing? Do you think they're believing us, or do you think that they're believing the media and the schools and the teachers, the professionals who are around them? So hasn't everyone heard? Yeah, they've heard. Israel has heard. But I asked, did Israel not understand? Paul says, but here's the question. Did Israel just not understand what the prophets were saying, what they were told about Jesus? Did they just not get it? Did Israel not understand the warnings that they'd been given? First of all, from Moses, and these are some interesting warnings, because the warnings are not about whether or not they will believe. It is about whether or not they would do what God called them to do. From Moses, first Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. He says, so for Moses, God will use others to show Israel what they missed. The Beacon Bible Church is a good church. Praise the Lord for you. I do. We have a lot of other good churches around us. In fact, the IFCA, of which we are members, full of good churches that teach the word, that love people, that get excited when somebody comes to visit, that get excited when individuals come to know Jesus as their personal Savior, that do baptism and take communion. Sometimes, as good churches, we look at churches that we go, they are not a very good church. Yeah, they've got the gospel right, but there are other things that they're just not doing very well. They don't teach doctrine. They don't have Sunday school classes. I don't understand what's going on there. Israel was not doing what God called Israel to do. And so guess what God did? God used a different tool. Sometimes as a good church we go, why are the other churches seeing people get saved? They're not doing what you want them to do, God. It's because they're doing one thing right. Guess what they're doing? They're sharing the gospel. They're going out and they're reaching people for Christ. God will use others to show Israel what they missed. And we go, Lord, what are you doing? This seems so unfair. We're following you and we're trusting you and we're doing what you've said. He says, with the foolish nation, I will make you angry. God will use those who do not know him to frustrate Israel. Sometimes I look at these other churches I'm talking about and I think, are they even Christians? Right? They still got one thing right, didn't they? They're still sharing the gospel. People are still getting saved. Now, not all of them. Some of them are way out there, right? But even the ones who are way out there, I talked about Joel Osteen the other day, how he is the largest church in America. You know why he has the largest church in America? It's not, I promise you, it's not because he has God's blessing on his life, okay? It's because he is telling them something that they need to hear. And they're believing it. They're being persuaded that his way is the right way. We need to go out and persuade people that God's way is the right way, that Jesus is the right way, that the gospel is the right way. We have to do it just as aggressively as they are. Now from Isaiah. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, and Isaiah is more bold than Moses. He takes it a step further. I have been found by those who did not seek me. Isaiah said, God will give salvation to those who did not watch for it. So he says, hey, listen, some of you, you think that you're deserving of what God has given you. You think that you deserve the positions and the power and the authority that is yours by birthright because you've done what God has instructed you. Of course, Israel was not doing what God had instructed them as a nation. But instead of blessing you as a people, I am going to bless this individual who didn't even know who I was. Wasn't even looking for me. I'm going to tap that person on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm going to save you today. He says, I will have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. God will become available to those who were not searching for him. You know how many guys we find down at the rescue mission, Peoria Rescue Mission, we find down there that we're not searching for God. They're just looking for a warm meal and some clean clothes and a place to rest their head. They weren't searching for God. And they got to the rescue mission. And they got to the rescue mission. The rescue mission said, hey, listen, if you're going to stay here, guess what you have to do? You're going to have to go and you're going to have to listen. And they got saved. They weren't looking for God. They were looking for something else. But because they were determined down there to share Christ with that person, that individual ends up getting saved. God becomes available to those who are not searching for him. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. God has and always will be for Israel. God's on Israel's side. He wants them. He wants them to turn to him. He wants them to be blessed. He wants them to move forward as a great nation. But they've not accepted him. So we look at ourselves and we go, okay, if we are God's people, how many of you believe we are the children of God? Right? We are the children of God. And that God wants to bless his children, right? That God wants to prosper his children, that God wants to use them for good in this world. So the question we have to ask is, if he's not, why is he not? If he's not using me to reach people for Christ, if he's not using me to see lives transformed, why is that not happening? And I'll tell you what the answer may be. You have been disobedient and contrary to God. And you go, no, I'm not. I pray. I love people. I read my Bible. I'm here, Pastor. I'm here. But what did he tell us to do? He didn't say to do just do these things. He said, go out and share my gospel. The furthering of a biblical church can only happen when God's people decide, they become determined and persuaded themselves that Jesus is the answer that the world is dying to hear about, and they determine to go out and do it. To go out and do it. So, now we get to the hard part. Applications. How are we going to apply this knowledge that there are people who need to hear, who probably don't want to hear, and may reject, but we need to get the gospel to them anyways? Applications. The message of Christ will never be accepted by individuals if they are not given that message. That's the first one. We got to be honest, folks. For the most part, Christians aren't even giving people the opportunity to reject Jesus. Second, the message is received as good news when the message is declared in perfect timing with God's work in an individual's life. That means we have to listen. We have to be ready to say, all right, Lord, I think maybe you're calling me to do something. I think maybe you're calling me to talk to somebody. I think maybe you're calling me to pray for an individual to get saved right now. I think maybe you're calling me to write a letter to an individual so that they will be saved right now. I think maybe you're calling me to talk to that waitress who's come to my table 5 times today and share with her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be aware when God opens a door for us to share the gospel. Thirdly, if we determine that we do not want to participate in the work of the gospel, if we say, oh, no, I'm not doing any of that, then God's going to pass over us and give the privilege to someone else who will be made the prosperous one in it. See, people are going to get saved. Did you know that? People are going to get saved. The question you have to ask is, do I want to take part in this thing that Christ has called us to do, or do I just want to let it all fall on somebody else and have God say, you know what, you don't want to do it? I'm done with you. I'm finished. Now I'm going to get personal. I know you thought I was already being personal, but now I'm going to get real personal. How will you respond as individuals? What gift has God given you to share the gospel? Some of you are wonderful writers. And if you could share the gospel through your writing, praise the Lord. Some of you are wonderful teachers, and if you could share the gospel through your teaching, praise the Lord. Some of you are die-hard prayer warriors, and if you could share the gospel through prayer, praise the Lord. Some of you are extreme extroverts. You love to talk to people anyways. Why don't you talk to them about Jesus, right? God has gifted us in many ways to do these things. The question is whether or not we are going to do what God has called us to do. And I'll tell you that if you're a good letter writer or a good prayer or a good teacher, that does not exempt you from talking to people about Jesus at least once in a while. So how will we respond as individuals? That's up to you. How are we going to respond as a church to the conviction of this thing?